The United States Steel Hour presents the world radio premiere of Tennessee Williams' The Glass Menagerie, the Theater Guild on the Air production starring Helen Hayes and Montgomery Clift. Helping to build a better America through better steels and products of steel is the job of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel. Look for our trademark, USS, on any steel product. It's your guide to quality steel. And now, as the lights go down at the Belasco Theater in New York, here, speaking for the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, is our guest narrator, the rising young Broadway star, Elliot Reed.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Theater Guild on the Air is especially proud and privileged tonight, as this occasion marks the world premiere on radio of Tennessee Williams' The Glass Menagerie. We are proud, too, that the starring roles of Amanda Wingfield and her son, Tom, will be played by Helen Hayes and Montgomery Clift. Miss Hayes, a too infrequent guest on our program, and Mr. Clift paying a most welcome first visit. Joining them in the featured roles of the gentleman caller and the daughter Laura are Carl Malden and Catherine Bard. The actors are on the stage, a baton is poised over the musicians, and so we raise the curtain on The Glass Menagerie, adapted for this program by Robert Anderson and directed by Homer Fickett.
Of a tenement down a back alley near a streetcar line. Streetcars stopping, starting all night long. Down a back alley next to a dance hall. A tenement, you enter the left by two steps up or down a fire escape. A structure whose name was a touch of accidental poetic truth, for the building was always burning with the slow fires of human desperation. I'm a character in this story. The other characters are my mother, Amanda, a little woman of great but confused vitality, clinging frantically to another time and place.
Sometimes there weren't enough chairs to accommodate all the gentlemen callers who came to see me over Sunday afternoon. I declare we often had to send a servant over to bring in folding chairs from the parish house.
And my sister, Laura, crippled slightly, limping from a childhood illness, and separated from life until she was like a piece of her own little glass collection, too exquisitely fragile to move from the shelf.
Oh, I don't sit around doing nothing. My glass collection takes up a good deal of time. Glass is something you have to take care of.
Later in the story, a gentleman caller appears. He's the most realistic character, being an emissary from a world of reality that we were somehow set apart from. There's a fifth character who doesn't appear. That is our father, who left us long ago. He was a telephone man who fell in love with long distance. The last we did hear from him, we got a picture postcard from Mazatlan on the Pacific coast of America, containing a message of two words. Hello, goodbye. And no address.
Tom, honey, don't push with your fingers. And chew. Chew! Animals have secretions in their stomachs which enable them to digest their food without chewing, but human beings are supposed to chew their food before they swallow it down. So you chew your food and give your salivary glands a chance to function.
Salivary glands. Animal secretions. I haven't enjoyed one bite of this meal. You're constantly telling me I ought to eat slow. I ought to swallow this way. I've actually sick to my stomach.
Temperament like a metropolitan star.
You're not excused from this table.
I'm getting a cigarette.
You smoke too much.
I'll bring the blancmange now,
no,
Mother.
Laura, no, Sister Nan. You're going to be the lady this time, and I'll be the servant.
I'm already up, Mother.
Well, resume your seat, little sister. I want you to stay fresh and pretty for gentlemen calling. I'll get the dessert.
I'm not expecting any gentlemen callers, Mother.
Sometimes they come when you least expect them. Well, I remember one Sunday afternoon in Blue Mountain.
Oh, what's coming?
Yes, but let her tell it. She loves to tell it.
I remember that Sunday afternoon in Blue Mountain when your mother received 17 gentlemen callers. Why, sometimes there weren't enough chairs to accommodate them all.
Well, how did you entertain all those gentlemen callers?
With conversation about things of importance going on in the world. Never anything common or coarse or vulgar. My callers were gentlemen, all. Among my callers were some of the most prominent men on the Mississippi Delta. There was Hadley Stevenson, who was drowned in Moon Lake and left his widow $150,000 in government bonds. There was Bates Coutrea, my bright particular beau. He got in a quarrel with that wild Wainwright boy. They shot it out on the floor of Moon Lake Casino. His widow was well provided for, too. Then there was that beautiful, brilliant young Fitzhugh boy from Greene County.
But did he leave his widow?
He never married. What's the matter with you? You talk as if all my old admirers had turned up their toes to the daisies. And I could have been Mrs. J. Duncan Fitzhugh, mind you. And what did I do? I picked your father.
Oh, Mother, let me clear the table.
No, dear, now. You go on in and study your typewriter chart or practice your shorthand a little. You stay fresh and pretty. It's almost time for our gentlemen callers to start arriving. Now, how many do you suppose you're going to entertain this afternoon, huh?
I don't believe we're going to receive any, Mother.
What? Not one? Oh, you must be joking. Not one gentleman caller? Well, what's happened? Has there been a tornado or a flood?
It isn't a flood. It's not a tornado, Mother. I'm just not popular like you were in Blue Mountain.
Oh, nonsense. I don't believe it.
Oh, let me help, Mother.
No, you stay right there now. You stay fresh and pretty. And, dear, you brush your hair a little. I noticed that it needed brushing.
You know, Tom, Mother's afraid I'm going to be an old maid.
Mother was afraid, and her way of coping with the possibility that Laura should be an old maid was to enroll her in a business college. One day, after a visit to the school to check on her daughter's progress, she came home to confront Laura.
Laura Wingfield, where have you been going when you've gone out pretending that you were going to secretarial school?
Mother, I don't like them. I stopped by the school today to see how you were doing, and what do they tell me? That you haven't been attending for weeks. And that your hand shook so that you couldn't hit the right keys on the typewriter. And that you were sick to your stomach the first time they gave you a speed test. And after that, you never showed up again.
Oh, please, Mother, I...
Where have you been going?
I've just been going out walking.
Walk? From 7:30 till after 5 every day, you mean to tell me that you were going out walking because you wanted me to think that you were still going to secretarial school?
Sometimes I went inside places to get warmed up, the art museum and the birdhouses at the zoo.
You did all this to deceive me, just for deception.
Why?
I couldn't face it. So, what are we going to do now for the rest of our lives, huh? Stay home and watch the parades go by? Amuse ourselves with a glass menagerie? Oh, I know so well what becomes of unmarried women who aren't prepared to occupy a position. Barely tolerated spinsters living on the grudging patronage of some sister's husband or brother's wife. Encouraged by one in-law to go visit another in-law. Is that the future we've mapped out for ourselves?
Mother, I don't know what to say.
Of course, some girls do marry. Haven't you ever liked some boy?
Yes, I liked one.
What?
Who did? His name was Jim, in high school.
Oh, high school boy.
He used to call me Blue Roses.
What did he call you a silly name like that for?
But when I had that attack of pleurosis, he asked me what was the matter when I came back, and I said, pleurosis. And he thought that I said blue roses.
Girls that aren't cut out for a business career usually wind up married to some nice young man. Sister, that's what you'll do.
But Mother,
what?
I'm crippled.
Don't say that word. I've told you never, never to use that word. You're not... You just have a little defect that's hardly noticeable, even.
That's not true. When I walk...
When people have some slight disadvantage like that, they cultivate other things, you know, to make up for it. You develop charm and vivacity and charm. That's all you have to do, and then you won't have any trouble in finding a husband.
From that day on, the idea of a gentleman caller for Laura began to play a more and more important part in Mother's calculations. And being a woman of action as well as words, she began to take steps, realizing money would be needed to properly feather the nest and plume the bird. She conducted a vigorous campaign on the telephone, roping in subscribers to one of those magazines for matrons called Homemaker's Companion.
Hello? Oh, hello, Ida Scala. This is Amanda Wingfield. We missed you at the DAR meeting last Sunday. I said to myself, she's probably suffering with that sinus condition. Heaven, have mercy. You're a Christian martyr, you know. That's what you are, a Christian martyr. Well, Ida, I know, dear. Yes, Ida, I just now happened to notice that your subscription to the Companion's about to expire. Just when that wonderful new serial by Bessie May Hopper is getting off to such an exciting start. You know, this is the first thing she's written since Honeymoon for Three. Oh, this one's even lovelier. It's all about the horsey set on Long Island. And a debutante is thrown from her horse while taking him over the jumps at the regatta. And his spine is injured. Are you listening to me, Ida? Ida, are you still there? Well, I declare she's hung up. But, Tom...
I've got no thing. No single thing in life here that I can call my own.
You stop that shouting.
Where did you put it?
I took that horrible novel back to the library, that hideous book by that insane Mr. D.H. Lawrence.
You didn't.
I cannot control the output of diseased minds or people who cater to them, but I will not allow such filth in my house. No, no, no.
House.
Who will pay
the rent on this house? Who pays the rent?
How dare you?
No, I don't dare say anything.
You let me tell you something.
I don't want to hear anything.
You will hear more.
No, I won't. I'm going out.
You come right back here, Tom.
Out.
You're going to listen to me, and I won't have any more insolence from you. I'm at the end of my patience.
Well, what do you suppose I'm at the end of?
I think that you've been doing things that you're ashamed of. I don't believe that you go every night to the movies. Nobody in their right mind goes to the movies night after night. People don't go to the movies at nearly midnight. And movies don't let out at 2 a.m. Oh, I can picture the way you're doing at your work, moping and doping, because you're in no condition.
You're right. I'm in no condition.
Oh, what right have you to jeopardize your job, jeopardize our security? How do you think we'd manage?
Mother, listen. You think I'm crazy about the warehouse? You think I enjoy going down there to the Continental Shoemakers? You think I want to spend 55 years down there in that Celotex interior with fluorescent tubes? Every morning you come into my room yelling that rise and shine. I say to myself, how lucky dead people are. But I get up. I go. For $65 a month, I give up everything I ever dreamed of doing or being ever. And you can say to me, self is all I ever think of. Why, listen, if self was all I ever thought of, do you know where I'd be? I'd be where Father is, gone. As far as the system of transportation could take me.
Tom!
Don't rattle me, Mother.
Where are you going?
I'm going to the movies.
I don't believe that lie.
All right. I'm going to opium dens.
Oh.
Yes, opium dens. Oh. I'm a hired assassin, Mother. They call me Killer Wingfield. You know what? My friends plan to dynamite this place. They're going to blow it all sky high some night. And you are going to go up on a broomstick over, way high over Blue Mountain with all your 17 gentlemen callers. You ugly, babbling old witch.
Tom Winkler, you come back here. I'll never speak to you again until you apologize.
¶¶ my mom.
Tom.
Oh, hi, Laura.
Tom, where have you been all this time?
Where have I been? I've been to the movies.
All this time at the movies?
Well, it was a very long program. They had several Mickey Mice. And then it was a big stage show.
Shh, now lower your voice, Tom.
Why?
Wake up Mother.
Good idea. Pay her back for all those rise and shine.
Shh, Tom, please. Come inside, but don't yell.
Oh, hey, Laura, I got to tell you what happened to me. The headliner on this stage show was this guy, Malvolio the Magician. And he did a trick. He had a pitcher, and he poured water from a pitcher into a glass. And you know what it turned out to be? Whiskey. And you know how I know it turned out to be whiskey? Because he needed somebody to come up from the audience to help him. And I came up. I came up both shows.
Tom, you lie down now. And in the morning, I want you to apologize to Mother.
Laura, the wonderfulest trick of all. What was the coffin trick? They had a coffin up there, see? And we nailed him into the coffin. And he got out. He didn't remove one nail. Pretty handy trick, huh? Get me out of this 2x4 situation. Mother, I apologize. I'm sorry for what I said. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean anything I said.
My devotion has made me a witch. And so I make myself hateful to my children.
No, you don't.
I've had to put up a solitary battle all these years. But you're my right hand, Val, and now don't fall down. Don't fail.
Well, I try, Mother.
Try and you will succeed. Why, you know, you're just full of natural endowments. Both of my children are. I'm so proud of my children. But promise me one thing, son.
What?
Promise me, son, you'll never be a drunkard.
Mother, I never will be a drunkard.
Now, eat some shredded wheat.
Just coffee.
Put cream in it.
No, thank you.
To cool it.
I like it hot.
There is no nourishment in black coffee. Tom, I sent your sister out so I could discuss something with you.
Oh, well, what do you want to discuss?
Laura.
Laura?
She has an idea that you're not happy here.
Well, what gave her that idea?
Well, you know, you do act strange. Now, I'm not criticizing. You understand that. But, Tom, why are you always so restless and... Where do you go two nights?
Mother, I go to the movies.
Why do you go to the movies so much, Tom?
I go to the movies because I like adventure.
But, Tom, you go to the movies entirely too much.
I like a lot of adventure.
Most young men find adventure in their careers.
Well, then, most young men aren't employed in a warehouse. Man is by instinct a lover. He's a hunter, a fighter.
Man is by instinct. Don't you quote instinct to me. Instinct is something that people have got away from. It belongs to animals. Christian adults don't want it.
What do Christian adults want?
Superior things. Things of the mind and the spirit.
Oh,
more and more you remind me of your father. He was out all hours without any explanation. Then left. Goodbye. Me holding the bag. I saw that letter that you had from the Merchant Marine. I know what you're dreaming of. I'm not standing here blindfolded. Very well, then, do it. But not till there's somebody to take your place.
What do you mean?
I mean that when your sister Laura has got somebody to take care of her, is married, has a home of her own, is independent, then you can be free to go wherever you please, whichever way the wind blows you. That's all right for me. But until that time, you've got to look out for your sister. I don't say me because I'm old. I don't matter.
Mother, I'm going to be late. I gotta go.
Tom, listen to... Down at the warehouse. Aren't there some nice young men?
No.
Well, there must be some.
Mother.
Find out one that's clean living and doesn't drink and ask him out for sister.
What?
For sister. To meet, to get acquainted.
Oh, my gosh.
Tom, wait. Please.
I gotta get to work, Mother.
Will you, Tom, please? Will you, Tom? Will you find a nice young man and bring him out for sister? Will you, Tom? Will you, dear?
now the curtain rises on the second act of The Glass Menagerie, starring Helen Hayes as Amanda and Montgomery Clift as Tom. Carl Malden is featured as Jim and Catherine Bard as Laura.
Across the alley from us was the Paradise Dance Hall. On evenings in spring, the windows and the doors were open, and the music came outdoors. Couples would come out into the alley. They'd kiss. You could see them kissing behind ash poles, ash pits, telephone poles. This was the compensation for lives that passed like mine without any change or adventure.
What are you doing out here on the fire escape zone?
Hmm? I'm looking at the moon.
Is there a moon this evening?
It's just rising over Garfinkel's Delicatessen.
Oh, so it is. Have you made a wish on it yet?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I wished for on the moon. Success and happiness for my two precious children. I wish for that whenever there's a moon. And when there isn't a moon, I wish for it, too.
You sure you didn't wish for a gentleman caller?
Why do you say that?
You don't remember asking me to fetch one?
Well?
Well, we're going to have one.
What?
A gentleman caller.
You asked some young man to come out here?
I did. I asked him for dinner.
Soon?
Pretty soon.
How soon?
Very soon.
How soon?
Well, he's coming tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yep.
What's it about? That doesn't give me any time.
Time? For what?
For preparations. Oh, my. Why didn't you call me the very minute that you asked him and the minute that he accepted?
Hey, Mother, you don't have to make any fuss.
Oh, you just don't know. That's all you just... We can't have a gentleman call in a pigsty. Oh, my goodness. Now, let me see. I have those three pieces of wedding silver left. I'll polish those up good. And I wonder now if that old lace tablecloth is that holding out. Oh, Tom, we can't wear anything. We haven't got anything. We can't have anything.
Mother. This boy's nobody to make a fuss over.
But do you realize he's the first young man we've introduced to your sister? Now, come inside. We got to get busy. Tom, I forgot to ask you now. What is this young man's name?
His name is O'Connor.
That, of course, means fish. Tomorrow's Friday. Tom. He doesn't drink.
Now, why do you ask me that?
Your father did.
Don't get started on that.
He does drink, then.
Not that I know of.
The last thing that I want for my daughter is a boy who drinks.
Oh, aren't you being a little premature? Mr. O'Connor has not yet appeared on the scene.
But he will tomorrow to meet your sister. And what do I know about his character? Nothing. Old maids are better off than wives of drunkards.
Mother, lots of fellows meet girls whom they don't marry.
Tom, will you talk sensibly and stop being sarcastic? Now, what is this young man's salary?
Well, I would judge this young man's salary to be about $85 a month.
$85? Well, for a family man, $85 a month is not much more than you can just get by on.
Except he's not a family man.
Well, he might be, mightn't he? Now, tell me more about this, what'd you call him, Miss?
James O'Connor. James D. O'Connor. D is for Delaney.
Irish on both sides, and he doesn't drink?
Well, you want me to call him right up and ask him?
Well, at least I hope he's the type that's up and coming.
Mother, just one little warning. I didn't tell him about Laura. I didn't let on that we had dark ulterior motives.
Well, when he sees how sweet and pretty she is, he'll just thank his lucky stars that we asked him to dinner.
Mother, you mustn't expect too much of Laura.
What do you mean?
Well, she does seem all those things to you and me because she's ours and we love her. We don't even notice that she's crippled anymore.
Don't say that word. You know that I never allow that word to be used.
But face facts, Mother. She is. And that's not all. She lives in a world of little glass ornaments. She plays old phonograph records. And those things can't help but make her seem peculiar to people.
Where are you going?
I'm going to the movies.
Oh, Tom.
Good night.
Oh, Tom. Laura. Laura.
Yes, Mother?
You let those dishes go and come out to the steps.
What do you want, Mother?
Well, Laura, you come out here and make a wish on the moon.
Oh, is there a moon?
Oh, it's just a little silver slipper of a moon. Now, you look over your left shoulder, darling, and you make a wish. No, not that way, over your left shoulder.
Oh.
There. There, now, darling. Wish.
What shall I wish for, Mother?
Happiness? Good fortune? Maybe just a little bit of good fortune?
Mother managed to transform that apartment overnight. A floor lamp appeared. It had a rose silk shade. And every place you looked, there was chintz. And Laura. Her fragile appearance acquired an almost unearthly prettiness. She seemed like a piece of translucent glass touched by light, given a momentary radiance. Not actual, not lasting.
Mother, you made me so nervous, all this fuss about my clothes.
Anna, you take a look at yourself. No, wait a minute, I have an idea.
What is it now?
You just hold still a minute, honey.
Powder puffs? Mother, what are you doing?
They call them gay deceivers. No.
I won't wear them.
You will, too, wear them.
But why should I?
Because, to be painfully honest, darling, you are just a little bit flat-chested.
Mother, you make it seem like we were setting a trap.
We are. All pretty girls are traps, and men expect them to be traps. Now, you look at yourself, young lady. This is the prettiest you will ever be.
I'm not so sure. I
love you. You look lovely, like an angel on a postcard. And what do you think of your mother, the way she looks, huh?
Oh, it's very pretty, Mother.
Just something I resurrected from that old trunk.
It's lovely.
This is the dress I had on the day I met your father.
Oh?
That was the spring I had the craze for jonquils. My mother said, honey, there is no more room in this house for jonquils. Whenever and wherever I saw them, I'd say, stop, stop. I see jonquils. I'd make the young men help me gather some. Oh, it was a joke, Amanda, and her jonquils. Mm-hmm. I hope your brother and Mr. O'Connor get here before it starts to rain.
Well, what did you say his name was?
O'Connor, James O'Connor.
Not Jim.
Yes, I've never known a Jim that wasn't nice.
There was a Jim O'Connor we both knew in high school. This is the one that Tom is bringing to dinner. You have to excuse me, Mother. I won't come to the table.
What sort of nonsense is this?
You asked me once if I ever liked a boy.
You mean... Laura. Laura, were you in love with that boy?
All I know is, Mother, I couldn't sit at the table if it was him.
Well, it won't be him. But whether it is or not, you will come to the table. You will not be excused.
So, I brought Jim home to dinner. I'd known Jim slightly in high school. In high school, Jim was a hero. He was shooting with such velocity through his adolescence that you would logically expect him to arrive at nothing short of the White House by the time he was 30. But Jim apparently ran into more interference after his graduation from high school. His speed had definitely slowed. I didn't have any friends at the warehouse except Jim. He called me Shakespeare.
Laura, that's your brother and Mr. O'Connor. He must have forgotten his keys. Will you let them in, darling?
Mother, you go to the door.
What is the matter with you, you silly thing?
Didn't you answer, please, Mother? I'm sick.
Well, I'm sick, too, of your nonsense. Why can't you and your brother be normal people?
Coming, just 1 second. Now, you answer that door, Laura. I'm going to turn off this ridiculous record, and you answer that door.
Oh. Laura Wingfield, you march straight to that door.
Yes.
I'm going to the kitchen.
Yes, Mother.
Well, we thought you weren't going to let us in. Jim, this is my sister, Laura. Laura, this is Jim.
Hey, I didn't know that Tom had a sister.
How do you do?
Okay. Your hand's cold, Laura.
Yes, well, I've been playing the viola.
Well, you must have been playing classical music on it. You ought to play a little hot swing music to warm you up.
Excuse me, I think I need it in the kitchen. I'll tell Mother.
You're here.
What was the matter, Tom?
She's terribly shy.
Well, I don't believe you ever mentioned you had a sister.
Oh, well, now you know I have one.
Tom, Mr. Mendoza was speaking to me about you.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Favorably?
What do you think? You're going to be out of a job if you don't wake up.
I'm waking up. Jim? I'm planning a change.
What do you mean?
I'm tired of the movies.
Movies?
Yes, movies. Look, what happens? People go to the movies instead of moving. They sit there in a dark theater. They watch everybody else having adventure. Well, I'm tired of the movies and I'm about to move. Look, see this card?
Yeah, what's that?
I'm a member. Union of Merchant Seamen. Paid my dues this month instead of the light bill.
Oh, you'll regret it when they turn the lights off.
I won't be here.
Well, how about your mother?
Mother, Mother is not acquainted with my plans.
Well, well, well. So this is Mr. O'Connor. Introductions are entirely unnecessary. I have heard so much about you from my boy. I finally said to him, Tom, good gracious, why don't you bring this paragon to supper? I'd like to meet this nice young man from the warehouse instead of just hearing you sing his praises so much.
Well, Mr.
You know, we're having a very light supper, Mr. O'Connor. Light clothes and light food are what warm weather calls for.
Mother?
Yes, honey?
Supper?
Well, honey, you go to the kitchen and you ask your sister if supper is ready. You know that your sister's in full charge of supper. You tell her you hungry boys are waiting for it.
Okay.
You've met Laura, Miss O'Connor?
Oh, yes. Yes, she,
Oh, she let you in, huh? Good. It's rare for a girl as sweet and pretty as Laura to be domestic. I'm not at all. I never was. I never could make a thing in the world but angel food cake. Well, you know, in the South, we had so many servants. Gone, gone, gone. All vestige of gracious living gone forever. Huh? I wasn't prepared for what the future brought me. All of my gentlemen callers were planters or sons of planters. And so, of course, I assume
well,
that I...
It looks to me like supper's on the table.
Well, let me look now. Why, yes, isn't that lovely? But where's Sister?
Well, she's not feeling very well. She thinks maybe she better not come to the table.
What? Well, nothing. Laura! Oh, Laura!
Yes, Mother?
You really must come to the table. We won't be seated until you come. Come in, Mr. O'Connor. You just sit over there and ask... Laura! Laura Wingfield! We can't say grace, honey, until you come to the table. Oh, here she comes now. Laura, dear, the table looks lovely. You've outdone yourself.
May I help you with your chair, Laura?
I don't...
Laura.
Oh, Laura, what is... You are sick, Tom. Oh, Tom, help your sister into the living room, dear. Huh?
Why don't you lie down a little bit?
Sit in the living room, Laura. Rest on the sofa. Oh, it's a shame, Mr. O'Connor. I'm afraid that standing over that hot stove made her ill, you know. I just told her that it was too warm this evening, but she didn't want you to be disappointed. But I'm sure she'll be feeling much better after supper. Is Laura comfortable in there, Tom?
Yes, she is.
Well, then, I think that we may be seated there. And now, I think we may have grace. Tom, honey, will you say grace?
Hmm? Oh. For these and all thy mercies, God's holy name be praised.
Glass Menagerie, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here again, speaking for United States Steel, George Hicks.
Earlier on tonight's program, I touched briefly on the importance of our great American public.
Curtain rises on the third act of The Glass Menagerie, starring Helen Hayes and Montgomery Clift, and featuring Carl Malden and Catherine Bard.
We had barely eaten the last bite of dessert when the lights went out.
Oh!
Hey there, Mr. Lightbulb.
Where was Moses when the lights went out? Do you know the answer to that one, Mr. O'Connor?
No, ma'am. What's the answer?
In the dark. Now, everybody sit still. I'll light the candles. Which one of you gentlemen can provide a match?
Match? Oh, here we are.
Isn't electricity a mysterious thing? Wasn't it Benjamin Franklin who tied a key to a kite?
Now, I'm sure I don't remember.
It can't be the fuse because I just... Tom, the light bill that I gave you several days ago, the one I told you we got the notices about?
Yes.
Well, you didn't neglect to pay it by any chance.
Did
pay.
Well, Tom probably wrote a poem on that light bill, Mrs. Wingfield.
I might have known better than to trust him with it. Well, we'll just have to spend the remainder of the evening in the 19th century before Mr. Edison made that Mazda lamp.
Well, a candlelight is my favorite kind of light.
That shows that you're romantic. Tom, as a penalty for your carelessness, you can help me with the dishes.
Well, let me give you a hand.
Oh, indeed, you will not.
I ought to be good for something.
Good for something? Oh, sister is all by her lonesome. Now, you could go and keep her company in the parlor. And I'll give you this lovely old candelabrum to take in.
Well, thank you.
And see if you can coax sister to drink a little wine. I think it would be good for her. Can you carry both at once?
Sure, I'm Superman.
I think you are. I really think you are.
Hello there, Laura.
Hello.
I brought you a little light and some dandelion wine.
Well, thank you.
Drink it, but don't get drunk.
you needn't have left the others.
Where shall I set the candles?
Oh, anywhere.
Yeah, I'll put them on the floor. I like to sit on the floor. Mind if I do?
Oh, no.
Have some gum?
No, thank you.
I think that I will indulge with your permission. Think of the fortune made by the guy that invented the first piece of chewing gum. Amazing, huh?
Yes. Mr. O'Connor, have you kept up with your singing?
Singing?
Yes.
Me?
I remember what a beautiful voice you had. I don't suppose you remember me at all.
You know, I have an idea I've seen you before. I had that idea as soon as you opened the door. It seemed almost like I was about to remember your name, but... Well, the name I started to call you wasn't a name.
Was it Blue Roses?
Blue Roses. My gosh, yes. Blue Roses, huh? You know, this sure is funny.
Yes. Yes, isn't it, though?
Didn't we have a class in something together?
Yes, singing. Chorus.
Now I remember. You always came in late.
Yes, it was so hard for me getting upstairs. I had that brace on my leg, and I clumped so loud.
I never heard any clumping. You shouldn't have been so self-conscious.
I know, but I was. It was always such a relief when the singing started.
You know, as I remember, you sort of stuck by yourself.
Well, I never had much luck at making friends.
You know what I judge to be the trouble with you? Inferiority complex. You know what that is? That's what they call it when someone low-rates himself. I understand it because I had it too, although, well, my case was not so aggravated as yours seems to be. I had it until I took up public speaking, developed my voice, and learned that, well, that I had an aptitude for science. Before that time, I never thought of myself as being outstanding in any way whatsoever. You know what my strong advice to you is?
What?
Think of yourself as superior in some way.
Well, in what way would I think?
One man alive, Laura. Just look about you a little. Look about you, and what do you see? A world full of common people. All of them born and all of them going to die. And which one of them has one-tenth of your good points or mine or anyone else's as far as that goes? Everybody excels in some one thing. All you've got to do is discover in what. Now, take me, for instance.
Yes?
Well, my interest happens to lie in electrodynamics.
Oh.
Now, how about you? Isn't there something you take more interest in than anything else?
Well, I do have my glass collection.
Well, I'm not right sure I know what you're talking about. Well, what kind of glass is it?
Well, it's little articles of it. They're ornaments, mostly. Most of them are little animals made out of glass. They're the tiniest animals in the world. Mother calls them the glass menagerie. Well, look. Here's one. You can take it in your hand. Only be careful if you breathe. It breaks.
No, I better not take it. I'm pretty clumsy with things.
Go on. I trust you. There now. You're holding him gently. Hold him over the light. He loves the light.
Well, it sure does shine.
I shouldn't be partial, but he is my favorite one.
What kind of a thing is this one supposed to be?
The single horn on his forehead, you know.
Oh, the unicorn, huh? Aren't they extinct in the modern world?
I know.
Well, where shall I set him?
Put him on the table. They all like a change of scenery every once in a while.
Well... Well, well. Hey, where does the music come from?
It's from the Paradise Dance Hall across the alley.
Well, how about cutting the rug a little, Miss Wingfield?
Or
is your program filled up?
I can't dance. I never danced in my life. My leg is...
Come on, try. Come on, a waltz.
Oh, but I'd step on you.
Well, I'm not made out of glass. Come on now.
Well, how do we start?
Just leave it to me. You hold out your arms a little.
Like this?
Right. And don't tighten up. That's the main thing about it. Don't tighten up. Relax.
I'm afraid you can't budge me.
What do you bet I can? Here we go.
Oh, goodness, yes, you can.
Let yourself go now, Laura. Come on, come on, let yourself go.
I'm trying.
Loosen the backbone. Huh? There, huh? Now we're doing fine, huh?
Oh, my. My goodness.
Oh, what did we hit on?
Oh, the table.
Oh, the glass unicorn.
It's broken. It's broken. It's lost its horn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. No, here, let me pick it up for you.
No, no. It's all right. I'll just imagine he had an operation. The horn was removed to make him feel less the freakish. Now he'll feel more at home with the other horses. The ones that don't have horns.
Well, I'm glad you have a sense of humor. You know, we're very different.
Please, I...
Do you mind me telling you you're different? I mean it in a nice way. Has anyone ever told you that you were pretty?
No.
Well, you are. You are in a very different way from anyone else. And all the nicer because of the difference, too. Blue roses.
But blue is long for roses.
Well, it's right for you. You're pretty.
In what respect am I pretty?
In all respects. Believe me, your eyes, your hair, the way it shines in the moonlight, your hands are pretty, too. And soft to the touch.
Please, I...
Now, you think I'm making this up because I'm invited to dinner and have to be nice.
Oh.
No. I'm talking to you sincerely. I just happened to notice that, well, you had this inferiority complex that keeps you from feeling comfortable with people. Well, somebody needs to build your confidence up and make you proud instead of shy and turning away and blushing. Somebody ought to kiss you, Laura.
Oh, no, I...
Oh. I'm sorry, Laura. I shouldn't have kissed you. I stumbled, Jonathan. Would you care for a mint?
What?
A peppermint lifesaver. My pocket's a regular drugstore. Wherever I go, I just stack up.
No, thank you.
Laura, I'm sorry.
Why? Why are you sorry, Jim? I'm...
Laura, if I had a sister like you, I'd do the same thing as Tom. I'd bring out the fellas and I'd introduce her to them. The right type of boys, of a type to appreciate her, only... Well, he made a mistake about me. I'm not in a situation to do the right thing.
What?
I can't take down your number and say I'll phone.
You won't call again?
No, I can't. I've been going steady with a girl named Betty. I met her last summer on a moonlight boat trip up the river to Alton. And, well, being in love has made a new man out of me. Betty's away this weekend, so when Tom invited me to dinner, I wish you'd say something, Laura.
Why... What can I'd like you to have this. Will you take it?
The unicorn? Why?
As a souvenir.
I'll have it fixed. I'll have the horn put back on and bring it back.
No, it doesn't want its horn. It wants to be like the others. It doesn't want it to be different.
We'll let you off early tonight, Miss Delconnor, but only on the condition that the next time you stay later. Now, what's the best night for you, Isn't Saturday night the best night for you working, then?
Well, I have a couple of time clocks to punch, Mrs. Wingfield. One at morning and another at night.
Oh, my, but you are ambitious. You work at night, too?
No, ma'am, not work, but, well, Betty.
Betty? Who's Betty?
Oh, just the girl I'm going to marry.
Oh, how nice. Tom didn't mention that you were engaged to be married.
Well, the cat's not out of the bag at the warehouse yet. Well, it's been a wonderful evening, Mrs. Wingfield. I guess this is what they mean by Southern hospitality.
It was nothing at all. Goodbye, Mr. O'Connor. I wish you luck and happiness and success, all three of them.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, Laura. And thank you for the souvenir. And don't forget the good advice I gave you.
I won't. Good night. Well. Well, well.
Tom.
Yes, Mother?
Come in here a minute. I want to tell you something very funny.
What, Mother? Well, has the gentleman caller made his escape already?
You didn't mention that the gentleman caller was engaged to be married.
He's what?
It seems very peculiar that you didn't understand that your best friend was going to be married.
The warehouse is where I work from now. They're not where I know things about people.
You don't know things anywhere. You live in a dream. You manufacture illusions. Where are you going?
I'm going to the movies.
That's right. Now that you had us make fools of ourselves, the effort, the preparations, all the expense, and for what? For what? For what? To entertain some other girl's fiancé. All right, you go to the movies. Don't think about us. A mother deserted. An unmarried sister who's crippled and hasn't got any job. Don't you let anything interfere with your selfish pleasure. You just go, 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 go to the movies.
All right, I will. And the more you shout about my selfishness, the quicker I'll go. And I won't go to the moon.
I don't care where you go. You can go to the moon. You selfish dreamer. Oh, Laura. Laura. Dear Laura.
I'm sorry, Mother. I'm sorry.
I didn't go to the moon. I went much further. Time is the longest distance between two places. I left St. Louis. I descended the steps of the fire escape for the last time, followed from then on in my father's footsteps, attempting to find in motion what was lost in space. But everywhere, I was pursued by something. It always came upon me unawares. Perhaps it was a familiar bit of music, perhaps only a little piece of transparent glass. And all at once, my sister touches my shoulder. Laura, I tried to leave you behind. I'm more faithful than I intended to be. I reach for a cigarette. I cross the street, go into a bar. I buy a drink, anything that can blow your candles out. For nowadays, the world is lit by lightning. Blow out your candles, Laura. And so goodbye.
Theater Guild on the Air production of The Glass Menagerie, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. We express our thanks to our stars, Helen Hayes as Amanda and Montgomery Clift as Tom. Our thanks also to Carl Malden, who is featured as Jim, and to Catherine Bard as Laura. And now, here is Elliot Reed with a word about next week's play.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a funny play waiting for you next week when the Theater Guild on the Air will present This Woman Business, a comedy about a number of men who believed they could live without the help or hindrance of the ladies. David Niven will be on hand to star as the leader of this valiant band, and opposite him, as a young woman with a mind of her own, will be the charming Broadway star, Margaret Phillips. Also starring will be your old friend of the screen and airways, Nigel Bruce. They will be supported by a fine and funny cast of Broadway players.
Remember, next week on the United States Steel Hour, This Woman Business.